going to do is kind of contextualize this panel vis-a-vis two projects, one, the Spirit of 1848, and another project that some of us on this panel have been working on for the past few years. Starting off, why does reproductive politics matter to public health? Now, I've asked this question in the spirit of both 1848 and the themes of policy and politics that are this year's meeting's themes of the APHA. Now, most of us in the audience probably agree that reproductive politics, and here using the term politics in the broadest and most democratic of senses, matters immensely to public health. If we can understand why today, in the United States' highly polarized political environment, with the ongoing assault on women's reproductive control, and the personal, economic, and societal devastation wrought by lack of access to health insurance and care, if we can understand those issues today, this panel today, this morning, can help us understand how we got to where we are today, how the past informs and shapes the present in both anticipated and unanticipated ways. In order to do so, we're very fortunate to have with us this morning leading scholars trained in sociology, history, and the law. They are going to share with us their research on the era of eugenic sterilization in the United States, an era that stretched from roughly about 1900 to the 1970s. The first two panelists, who Kirby just introduced, Paul and Greg, will discuss two key legal events in this history and their far-reaching social and medical ramifications. The 1927 Buck versus Vell case legitimated the approximately 30 state sterilization laws on the books, which targeted inmates, patients, and patients whose developmental disabilities, mental illnesses, poverty, lack of education, or disrupted family status had led to their commitment. Almost 50 years later, the Relf case exposed that eugenic sterilization persisted, now enabled by what we might consider well-intentioned federal family planning services that were twisted by recalcitrant racism and the devaluation of poor women's lives. Finally, in her commentary, Elena Gutierrez assesses this history in light of more recent struggles of minority and poor women, especially Latinas, for reproductive justice, including access to reproductive health care and challenges to stereotypes of them as reckless hyperbreeders. Now, in bringing us towards the present, Professor Gutierrez will bridge us to questions about how, what, and where eugenics exists today and what it looks like. These include critiques of prenatal testing, ongoing instances of sterilization abuse, and what we might call privatized consumer eugenics. All of this in a society where some can literally buy genetic enhancement, while for 20% of American women, their first prenatal visit is actually in the delivery room. Now, it's not a fluke that this panel combines history, ethics, policy, and activism. And in fact, this panel fits with two different projects that have brought us here today. The first is the kind of issues that the Spirit of 1848 takes up, and we're very grateful to the Caucus of 1848 and especially to Nancy Krieger for sponsoring this session. Now this, yeah. Woo. So thank you for bringing us into the fold. Now this project is also a collaborative effort looking back at the history of eugenics in the U.S. from the vantage point of Indiana, which was the first state, some people are surprised to learn, in the country and indeed the world to pass a eugenic sterilization law in 1907. This collaborative project was funded by an LC, Ethical, Legal, and Social Implications of the Human Genome Project NIH grant, and it brought together historians, ethicists, and physicians to reflect on 100 years of eugenic sterilization and eugenic topics more broadly in the United States. And on this, I'll talk about this in a second, but you can learn about this project in this flyer, which is in the back on the lavender paper. There's a website for it, and this project included, as public history components, a museum exhibit, a major public symposium that was held last spring, a variety of lectures to legal and genetics communities in Indiana, and has also led to publications in journals and an edited collection of essays that will be coming out in the next few years. Now, in order to continue this educational outreach, we have put together this flyer, as I mentioned, and this is a resource list of books, articles, and websites for those who are interested in learning more about the topic. And they bring up both delve into the history so you can get the historical background, but then link to articles that raise the kind of questions that we might talk about in the Q&A, which are issues of reproductive choice, what eugenics looks like today, how does this history really inform the present, and where do we go from here?